turn now to the book of Esther, chapter 4, page 561 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading the 14th verse. Just this one verse, and we'll read it all together. Esther, chapter 4, verse 14, page 561. And let's read. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Turn now to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Page 1251 in your Scofield Bible. And we'll read just the 10th verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And let's read. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for today. Thank you for beautiful weather. Thank you for this church, which stands here to accept great crowds, whether inviting or whether the conditions are blustery or cold or rainy. It doesn't matter. The folks gather here. We thank you for faithful people. We thank you for a preacher who preaches thy word and who has encouraged us and helped us so many times. Once again, reach out to these thy people. Furnish our need, please. And bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
Esther was a queen. She was a little Israelite lady. The king was not. Her king, her husband, had been tricked, really, into passing an edict or handing down an edict that all the Jews would be killed in his kingdom. All the Jews in his kingdom would be killed. Esther was the only hope for the salvation of her people. It was a very serious thing for her to go before the king with such a request to defend her people that the king was going to destroy. Courageously, she did so. And in so doing, the Jewish people in the kingdom were spared. And then the statement was made to Esther, who knows but what thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Please set it straight, look this way. Do your talking and courting later. I want to talk to you this morning on the best reason for always walking with God. I could call it the best reason for being instant, in season, out of season. I could call it the best reason for being faithful. Look at me and act like you're interested. Whether you're interested or not, get a look. Get that zombie look off your face and listen to me now. I got something to tell you. It could be called the best reason for always manning your post, or the best reason for always being faithful. I call your attention again. Who knows but what thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Our Heavenly Father, I come this morning with what I believe is what you want me to say at this hour to these people. But I don't care how hard I try to say it, how faithful I am to say it. If they don't listen, I'll not be able to deliver what I believe is your message to them today. May they listen intently. May I preach fervently about this amazing subject, please. Amen.
little microphone here.
I have lived according to principles in my life. I was talking about things like this to Brother Scott one time, and he said, "Preacher, you've made a science of the Christian life." From that came my series of Wednesday night Bible studies titled The Science of the Christian Life. And from that came two books, each of which is called Science of the Christian Life 1 and 2. Let me share with you two philosophies by which I've lived, and I think this morning you'd be wise to adopt them. Number one, I believe that God has given to every person something he's supposed to do with his life for him. Dr. Laurent was supposed to teach in a Bible college. Brother Colston was supposed to work with the suffering and the sick. I was supposed to pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And others of each of you, I believe that God has a will, a main purpose for your life. I also believe this. Don't miss it now. Everybody be still now. No walking around. Everybody just sit down and be still. Listen to me now. I believe that God has for each one of us a life's purpose. I likewise believe that God has for each one of us a such a time as this. Look at me. Look at me. I believe that God has for you. That's why I want you to hear me. I believe that God has for you two things in life. One is a main purpose in your life. A ministry, a life's work, if you please. It may be that God, the work that God has called you to do, is to be a faithful Sunday school teacher. Or it may be that God has a purpose, some purpose for your life. I also believe that God has one time in your life where you can do something to change the world. None of us believes that Esther had no other purpose in life. None of us believe that Esther was born and just existed until this day when she went before the king. Esther had many things that she did in life that were admirable, no doubt. But if she had not kept on doing those things, she would have missed her such a time as this. I'm going to make five statements. I want you to hear carefully. One is, I believe, this is repetitious, I believe that each of us has one big time in life to accomplish something big. I believe that you, every child, every adult, every teenager, every college student, I believe that you will have one big opportunity in your life to accomplish something big. Number two, I also believe that God does this so we will accomplish our life's purpose. If there's something somewhere in life, and I don't know what it is, that is the big, super, summum bonum accomplishment or contribution that I'm supposed to make to my generation, I do not know when it is or where it is. That means that I must always be faithful to the ministry, the lifetime ministry God has given me, in order that I am faithful at that particular moment when God has a such a time as this. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? I said, number one, I believe that each one of us has one big time in life to accomplish something big. I said, number two, I also believe that God does this so we will accomplish the life's purpose. Number three, in other words, I do not know when that big opportunity will come, so I must always be serving. I do not know what Sunday morning that young Lee Roberts, the next young Lee Roberts, will be in my Sunday school class. As a visitor, such as was the case with Daisy Hawes in Louisville, Kentucky many years ago. So, since I teach a Sunday school class, I must be faithful every Sunday, so I'll be at the post when that new Lee Robertson comes in. I do not know when that little Jackie Boy Hiles will come in as a 5-year-old barefoot boy in the beginner department of the Fernwood Baptist Church where Mrs. Bethel is the superintendent of that department. I do not know, and she does not know. So since she does not know, she that sure doesn't want to be gone somewhere on some needless weekend trip when that little boy comes in his room. Do you ever stop and think where you'd be this morning if Mrs. Bethel had not been there that Sunday morning? I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, this is big league stuff we're in. And this is not the minor leagues. This is the big leagues. God made you for two purposes. One, to fulfill a ministry, and somewhere in that ministry there is a spot where you will have a chance to do something big and accomplish something big for God. Listen carefully. Number four, I also believe we will not know what it was to get to heaven. I don't think, if I look at my ministry, I do not know what that big thing that God had for me to accomplish. I know one thing, I'm supposed to be faithful every day, so when the day comes, I'll be at the post. So, I must always be doing His will and purpose, so I will not miss that one big thing I was meant to do. I'm talking about the widow that gave her two mites. This was not the only time she gave her offering. But suppose she hadn't come to church that Sunday. I mean, that widow had a life's purpose, and she went about that life's purpose so that when that one big time, listen to me, I'm preaching to you. I've been studying and working to give you something. Now listen to what I'm saying. Young people, sit up and listen to me when I'm talking. Listen. I'm saying that God didn't drop you down here so you could watch the Bears play football. God didn't drop you down here so you could watch Chicago Bulls play basketball. And God didn't drop you down here so once a month you could go to Disneyland or Disney World or have a picnic. God put you here. There is a purpose for your life. Now, a main purpose, a life ministry for you. And somewhere on that life's ministry, there is a big accomplishment you can accomplish. And that little widow, she didn't know what it was going to be, but she kept on giving and kept on putting her offering in and kept on putting her offering in. And one day, the television camera pointed toward her, and Jesus saw her, and that was the big purpose that God gave her. I'm talking about Barzillai at the age of 80, when David had fled the land because his son was taking over the throne. Barzillai found David and his men out there away from the city of Jerusalem, off the throne, out of the palace. And Barzillai fed David and his men. No doubt Barzillai had been feeding folks a lot. But if he had missed that day, suppose he decided to take off that day, he would not have been able to do the one thing that put his name in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you today that you're no uh-oh with God, as I said last Sunday night. You are on purpose with God. God has a ministry for you, and the main thing in life is do it. And somewhere, glory to God, somewhere along that faithful day-by-day trudging routine work that God has given you to do, someday, one day, God will give you a chance to accomplish something big. I'm talking about that little maid to whom Naaman came. She said, I know a prophet. I know a man of God could take care of your problem. No doubt that maid had bragged on Elisha many times. But that one day, suppose that she hadn't come to work that day. Suppose she had taken a personal day. And didn't come to work. And that was the day that she was going to have a chance to tell Elisha, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, that Elisha was the man needed to go see. I'm trying to say, if that little lady had quit doing the routine, mundane, normal things of life, one day she would have missed the chance to do something big. And bless God, I want to do something big for God. I don't want to sit down here and eat three meals a day, get up and go to work and play around and go to bed at night and watch the box four do. Bless God, with the life God's given me, I want to do what God put me here to do. Not only do I want to do that, but I want to be so busy for God that when that time comes, that time, my such a time as this comes, I want to be doing my routine things so my such a time as this I can do. I'm talking about George Husing Gay, The man ran a little store over here. We own the building now on State Street. He just kept on. George Houston Gay was about as spectacular as a haircut. And he just kept on cutting. Always here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, deacon's meeting, didn't matter, always here. He came to deacon's meeting dozens and hundreds of times, but one night he came and put a little piece of paper on the desk of the deacon chairman. And said, this is the fellow you ought to contact, fellow named Howells down in Texas. Nobody knew who I was. He just read a little article about me and the work in Texas and George Husengay, who kept on putting, doing the things that God had told me day after day after day after day. All of a sudden, God let that man be responsible for there being a Howells Anderson College, and there being a Hammond Baptist school system, and there being the great First Baptist Church of Hammond. Hey, I don't want to miss that big thing that God put me here for, so I must continue to do all those little things. I don't know, I won't know to heaven which one it is. I'm talking about the little lad with the lunch basket. Suppose he decided to stay home and watch Bozo that day. No doubt that little lad had gone to Sunday school time and time again. Little did that little lad know, sitting back there in that crowd of 5,000 people, little did know that this was his day. You won't know when your day is, but be there when it comes. Little did Andrew know that day, when he went to church that Sunday morning, that Jesus was going to feed the 5,000. But Andrew was a children's worker, the greatest children's worker in the history of mankind. Say, how do you know? Try taking a lunch basket away from the boy sometime. My son, the preacher wants your lunch this morning. Lady, one of our ladies, I won't call the name. But I will to it, Miss Bush. And when she gets mad at Brother Bush, she's the burning bush. But anyway, just want to see if you listen, that's all. So, her three little children bring me a little candy bar. And, well, actually, the baby is just getting where she can walk. So, the two older ones, they bring me a candy bar every Sunday morning, and the baby, Mrs. Bush, will bring her in. She'd be holding it like this. I'd reach out and get it. This morning, I reached out to get the one for the two bigger kids, and they're glad to give it to me. But the baby can walk now. I reached out to get it, and she pulled it back. I reached out again. Let me have that, you little rat, I thought. But she won't give it to me. Now, I wouldn't take it. Ain't no way I won't take candy from my baby. I don't care. No way. Unless that's the only way I can get it. But look, can you imagine? Here's this kid with his lunch basket, and Andrew says, I want this. Could I have your lunch basket? Andrew was an apostle. He was faithful, a prodder. And he kept on prodding and kept on prodding and kept on prodding till one day there was something he could do that Peter couldn't do, and something he could do that John couldn't do, and something he could do that James couldn't do. And Andrew's name is emblazoned in Christian history today because he kept on doing the things that God called him to do and was there and present when he had such a time as this came. I'm talking about that blind man. I'm sorry. That black man at Dallas, Texas, who about 55 years ago, I was working at Dallas Railway. He delivered parts to Dallas Railway from Mack Truck Company. Very poor black man. Every day he came by, and at lunch we'd pray together and read the Bible together. On this particular day, he was crying. And he said, Mr. Jack, Please forgive me. I'm not making fun of black people. I'm simply telling you how you talked. He said, Mr. Jack, he said something awful's happened today. I said, what is it? He says, Dr. George W. Truett, pastor of First Baptist Church, has died. He loved us. He loved black people. He loved the world. He loved Dallas. He loved the area. And he said, Mr. Jack, I was 17 years of age. He said, Mr. Jack, I believe that God has told me today to tell you that you someday are supposed to pastor the great church and that you are going to take the place of Dr. George W. Truett. And because that black man was at his post, he came for such a time as this. You're looking at a man who would not be in the ministry today had it not been for an old black man that kept on praying, kept on reading his Bible, and kept on praying till one day is such a time as this. But you'll be on a fishing trip when your time comes. You'll be home because you've got 99.2 temperature when your time comes. You've been taking a day off when your time comes. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is real. This is real. I'm trying to tell you that God in heaven put you here for a purpose, and God wants you to keep on fulfilling that purpose, and one day you'll have a chance to influence the world like a little old slave Jewish girl did. I've lived my life with this philosophy. I do not know what my big accomplishment has been or will be. I cannot tell you the name of this person, but he's one of the most famous preachers of our generation. He's in heaven now. Many, many years ago, don't miss this story, many, many years ago, I was preaching for him. I was a young man, so was he. We were not known greatly except in our own local area. I was sitting on the platform beside him. The organist was playing the prelude. Service hadn't started. All of a sudden, he was sitting here to my left. His little daughter, about 5 or 6 years old, came running up the stairs crying. She said, Daddy, Mama's going to leave us and leave you. Break up your marriage. As soon as the service is over, she's here now. But said, Mama's going to leave us after the service. She just told me she was. I prayed all during the song service, oh, God, help me tonight. Help me to save the marriage of this preacher. And doing it, save this church. I did not know it at that time, but much of America was at stake that night. Just a few hundred people, about 300 people there. Not a big church. I preached that night with a broken heart because the pastor's wife was going to leave him after the service was over. Invitation time came. I did something I'd never done before. I asked the people to stand and a pianist to play something. I asked the people just to mill around, shake hands each other, and say, I love you. And for about 10 or 15 minutes, that's all they did. The pianist played, and they just milled around, shaking hands, saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And the people just expressing their love to each other. And all of a sudden, that little 5 or 6-year-old girl came bouncing up on the platform, and she looked at her daddy and said, Daddy, Mama just said she's going to stay. Mama's going to stay. And tears began to roll down that famous preacher's cheek. His ministry was salvaged. I don't know if that's the reason why God put me for my big accomplishment. That man became one of the great preachers in America. I don't know, but I know this. If I had not been faithful to my calling that night, one of the great ministries in America would never have taken place, and that marriage would be broken, that church would be destroyed, and a ministry would be aborted. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, thousands of ministries have been awarded, and thousands of things have not been done for God that could have been done for God if, because people have not been faithful to their task day by day by day by day by day. I don't know what my such a time as this is. Was it that night when I preached from Psalm number 8, Atlanta, Georgia? Young preacher. Our preacher was there, never won a soul. Had a church with 20 people. I preached that night, what is man, and art mindful of him, the Son of Man that thou visitest him. And all of a sudden, something happened inside that preacher's heart. And that night, that next day, he went out and won his first soul to Christ and won 2 more souls to Christ. and built the largest church in the state of Georgia and became the successor to John Rice as editor of the Sword of the Lord. Was that night by such a time as this? I don't know, but whether it is or not, thank God I was faithful that night. Was it that day, that night in Springfield, Missouri, when some students came from a Christian denomination college over in Joplin, Missouri, just to sort of see what I look like. And it's certainly worth your while to come miles to see what I look like. And those preacher boys came out of curiosity just to see what Dr. Howells was like. They decided to come by and ask me to sign their Bibles. They didn't care whether I did or not, but they collected signatures and thought they'd just come by and sign their Bible. I was friendly. Shook their hands and chatted with them a while. And one of those young men had his heart knitted to me that night. And he said, I'm going to come to Howells Anderson College. He came to Howells Anderson College. Rick Martin is his name. Was that sermon at the Baptist Temple in Springfield, Missouri? Was that not such a time as this? Or was it that night in Atlanta, Georgia, when Dr. Curtis Sudston became a great soul winner? Was that not such a time as this? Or was it that night in that service when that woman, Bishop's wife, was going to leave her husband, a famous preacher, is going to become? Well, I don't know. Or has it happened yet? I don't know whether not such a time as this. The big contribution I make, it may be tomorrow, it may be next week, but bless God, whatever it is, I want to be at my post.
If you're a Sunday school teacher, were you absent that Sunday?
You say, how do I know? You'll know when you get to heaven.
And there are going to be a lot of people that have an awful hard time keeping tears from dropping their eyes in heaven on what they could have done
because they spasmodically served God. There one Sunday called the next. There two Sundays called the next. There four Sundays called the next. Hopping off here, hopping off there. Don't come faithful to your task. Don't come prepared. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to think that somewhere in my 72 years plus, or how many more years I've got left, I'd like to think that somehow I'll leave a big mark on my generation. I do not know when my such a time as this has come, but bless God, I've got to be faithful in my little task, preaching to 50 people here, or 200 people here, or talking to a fellow shaking hands here, or signing a Bible here, or talking to someone on an airplane here. I don't know what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, find out the main purpose of your life. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. And you'll not miss your such a time as this.
If you're a Sunday school teacher, stay at the task. If you're a bus worker, don't be home playing sick. That Sunday may be the one. If you're a school teacher, don't take a personal day off that day. Personal days weren't made for you just have a day to rest in the first place. This is business here, but the concept of the personal day was never for you to have a day off when you got tired. It's you to have a day off to go to the doctor in case you had a doctor's appointment. Or in case your child had a doctor's appointment or something like that. Or in the case of somebody passed away, that's not, doesn't matter. I'm simply saying, what a tragedy. If George Hughes and Gay hadn't come to deacon meeting that night, most of you wouldn't be here right now. Do you know what I'm saying? If George Hughes and Gay had been like most of you are, we wouldn't be here right now. This building wouldn't be here. Howells Anderson College wouldn't be there. I'm saying, here's a prodder. If there ever was a prodder, it was George Hughes and Gay. He was about as tasty as a 49-cent McDonald's hamburger. But he just kept on going. And kept on going. And kept on going. Like the little widow said, you're always there. I'll give you such a time as this. Like Naaman, like God said to Naaman's little maid, you're always serving. And you'll be there when cometh there's such a time as this. Like the old black fella from that truck company delivering the Dallas Railway. God said he's always doing his job, and one day
is such a time as this came. Ask your question now. Suppose the widow had missed that day. Suppose the lad would have stayed home that day. Suppose Barzillai had felt like he was too old to keep on going. 80. Suppose Esther had been too scared to go in before the king. Suppose Naaman's maid had been too shy. Suppose Ittai had been disloyal to David and missed his chance to stand beside him in the time of heartache and trial. Suppose I had done less than my best in Atlanta, Georgia one night in 1961. Suppose George Huizenga had decided to stay home and watch the Chicago Bulls play. You want to say, Deacons? Did you hear what I said, Deacons? Did you hear what I said? Suppose George Huizenga had been too busy to be a deacon. And brother, if you're a deacon here, you're supposed to deacon. But he's out of sign the board. I can tell you something better than that. Start deacon. You don't know. But if that one deacon that one night had decided to stay home and watch the Bulls play, I would not be standing here. Most of you would be sitting there. Over 500 employees would be employed somewhere else. There would not be a Hal Anderson College or Hammond Baptist Schools. And this would not be the great soul-winning center of the world. One deacon just kept on plotting. Just kept on plotting. And George Huizenga, he could say good morning and you'd go to sleep. But one of the most faithful men I ever met in my life. Brother, when the doors were open, listen to me, I'm preaching to you. George Huizenga was here. I don't care what door it was, if he was supposed to be here, he was here. And then one day he handed that little piece of paper to Lee Johnson, the chairman of our deacons then. He said, this is the fellow you ought to call. Somebody asked him, you know this fellow? He said, no, I don't know him. Never heard of him. Just saw this little write-up in his honor in his catalog. About him and the church in Texas and how it had grown. This is the fellow that you ought to call. Now look at me, folks. As I said last Sunday night, God didn't put you here by accident. He put you here to have a ministry to pursue. And in that ministry, somewhere, I believe there will be a time and you'll have a chance. Your Mrs. Bethel's hour. Daisy Hall's hour. I'm sure that that young man, Dwight Moody, at the shoe store in Boston, was not the only visit that his Sunday school teacher had made. I'm sure that Mr. Kimball had visited many, many absentees and visited many, many prospects for his Sunday school class, but he kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on till one day is such a time as this came. And he won Dwight L. Moody to Jesus Christ. You don't know when it's going to come. The black man didn't say, I'm looking for... By the way, it's interesting. The time that black man came to Dallas Railway and Terminal Company, First Baptist Church Dallas was the largest church in America. And that black fellow said, God has told me you're supposed to take his place. Little did he know that 17-year-old kid will someday pastor the largest church in America, just like George W. Truett did. But he kept on, and he kept on. Ask a question. Where will you be when you're such a time as this comes? Or sadder, where were you when it came? Look. Susanna Wesley, Coastal Hiles, Mrs. Bethel, Daisy Hawes. These aren't people whose names are in the headlines. They're people that when 9:30 came on Sunday morning, they were there to teach their Sunday school class. They were there. And when my mother used to teach me that this is the Word of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, and I had to repeat it three times. Mother didn't say, I'm training the pastor of the largest church in America. She didn't say that. She said, I'm just doing my job. And she kept on, and she kept on. And then one night she stood behind this platform of 7,000 people from all over the world in this audience and was honored. Why? Because she set out to do something big? No, because she kept on doing something little. And God said, Costo, just keep on teaching your daughter and your son. And my sister, who celebrated her 80th birthday Friday, and I stand today and salute our mother because she just kept on and kept on. And one day came the day for such a time as this. The little widow just kept on giving what she could and kept on giving what she could. But if she had not been there that day, she would not have been a testimony to all of us for 2,000 years. I ask you a question. Are you fulfilling regularly the mundane duties and responsibilities of life? You mothers, you spend more time teaching your children or watching the television set? When you're such a time as this comes, you're probably watching Oprah. Now, if you knew when it's going to come, you'd be sure to be there that day. If you knew what day that Jesus was going to meet to look at the offering, she wouldn't have missed it. If the little maid had known what day it was that she was going to get to talk to Naaman, she wouldn't have missed that day. But you don't know. You just keep on doing and serving the mundane, simple things of life. And one day, there's such a time as this comes. And brother, we're going to have a spell when we get to heaven and look back and find out what it was for such a time as this. I said again, Esther didn't. God is not saying that Esther, that's all she came to live and die for. Oh, no. Esther had many duties to perform. But in the performance of those duties came the opportunity for such a time as this. I'm saying this morning, man your post. Man your post. Keep faithful to the task, that ministry, that purpose in your life. Stay with it. And don't be AWOL. When you're such a time as this comes. One of the things that we're going to see in heaven, more than anything else, in my opinion, is what we could have done if we'd stayed with the stuff. So this morning, give yourself to the mundane task, the unspectacular. And one of these days, that time will come. In heaven, you'll either look back and say, well, glory to God, look what happened. That's one reason why I keep going. I'm not sure that Curtis Hudson's reason that my such a time as this. I'm not sure that Rick Martin is my such a time as this. It may be in the future. So I must keep on going. I'm pressing on the upward way. I must always keep on manning my post and you man your post. And one day that time will come when you'll have a chance to make a huge accomplishment and contribution your generation. It's your such a time as this. I'm 72. 63,000 sermons plus. Can I forget that time when seven people showed up in a little church in East Texas? Can I forget that time when nine people showed up in Sioux City, Iowa? Brother Ray Young likes to tell the story. He was with me in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I preached Monday night, and Brother Ray said,
kicked over the house, kicked over microphones, and climbed the seats, and stood up on the chair, stomped and hollered and screamed and beat the pulpit. House was packed and jammed with extra chairs. But the young said the next morning, 19 people showed up for the morning service. 19. Sitting down at the front, down here on about two pews, in a building that would seat about 400 or 500 people. Brother Young said, now what's he going to do? Now what's he going to do? And Brother Young said, I couldn't believe it. Brother Howes kicked over a microphone, stomped the floor, beat the pulpit, screamed and hollered, waved his hands and said, walked on the pews. 19 people sitting over here. You know why? Because it just may be that my such a time as this was that morning. Oh, I got so many things going through my mind right now. I think I'll just stay and preach for another 2 hours. Here's a deacon in a Baptist church. Maybe the Methodist church, I think. Anyway, this guy was a deacon. A snowstorm came. The snowstorm was so bad the pastor couldn't even get there. But the deacon lived in a different area, and he got there, and 15 people showed up in this church on that Sunday morning during the snowstorm. 15. Pastor wasn't there. So the deacon stood up and preached. He preached on look to Jesus and live. 15 people, a deacon, look to Jesus and live. And sitting up in the gallery, was a young man never seen before. He said, young man, I don't know who you are, but look to Jesus and live. Look to Jesus and live. And that faithful deacon preaching to 15 people in a snowstorm, and the pastor couldn't even show up, gave an invitation, and Charles Haddon Spurgeon walked down the aisle as a 15-year-old boy, and that one deacon that day was there in the snowstorm, manning his post. He did not know. No doubt that he got to heaven. Because Spurgeon's ministry probably had not unfolded before he got to heaven. When he got to heaven, he found out that was his such a time as this. So find out the purpose of your life, your ministry. Don't be looking for such a time as this. Just do your best all the time. Just do your best all the time. And one day, your such a time as this will come. And not only will you have had the joy of serving God for a lifetime, but you will have the joy of making that one great contribution that God had in mind that you make. Would you bow your heads, please?